The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 334. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Brett Murdoch.
Hey, people. Eating meatloaf.
I'm waiting for him. Oh, well, he's watching his meatloaf. And Brian Monjoma.
I also put breadcrumbs in my meatloaf.
Ah, I need to try that. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound crazy. I mean, you put breadcrumbs or breading in meat in meatballs. So yeah, because what is meatloaf? It's a big meatball, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. You
know? But yeah, we were talking about that off air because Carlos has never eaten meatloaf.
I've never had it. I mean, I had meatballs, but not meatloaf.
Yeah. Well, there you go, man.
Not part of Mexican.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I haven't eaten because they're not Dominican. I'm like, I don't eat that. I've never had that before. Yeah, like I was telling Carlos, Mexican food. I'm like, I've never had this before. Tacos?
What is this?
Yo, when I had Mexican food first time, man, I was like, damn, this shit is good. And I'm talking about good Mexican food, Carlos, not the shit they serve in some of these like white people friendly restaurants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they kind of cater it. Like, there's a lot of restaurants here that they cater towards an American taste bud, and it's
they got to cater it to a Dominican taste bud, bro.
Well, it's funny. You remember that specific a Mexican restaurant?
On Austin Street, right?
Yeah, it was on Austin Street. Well, the food is just bland as hell there.
Yeah.
So I used to always bring a little bottle of adobo with me, you know, just on the occasion, you know, because, you know, sometimes
Carlos, our Mike used to love going there, right? So we go there because we want to hang out, right? So one day I just see Manny pull out this little thing of adobo, and I'm like, yo, let me get that shit.
Yep.
I think I know the place you're talking about.
Yeah, you probably do.
It was on the second floor, that far not far from where Rick's Comic Cave or
it was on that Meal same.
Yeah, oh, okay, same, yeah. Okay, yeah.
We're gonna vamp it because we got like five questions tonight or something.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to wish a happy birthday to my co-host, Mr. Emilio Lopez, a.k.a. Manny. You're 41 like me now, sir.
Yes. It is what it is. It was a kind of a, you know, definitely a lot better than it was last year.
Yeah.
Went to this place called the Shady Maple Smorgasbord.
Yeah. By the way, that's the main reason I'm bringing it up, because I want you to tell the people what you told me, because this is actually pretty cool.
Okay, Shady Maple's Smorgasbord is essentially a Amish-owned, buffet. So essentially, it's like, you know, stuff you would find that Amish people would make. You know, just like, you know, with lots of butter and all kinds of other, you know, good. So just like home food, Americana food, but, you know, just on a big, huge buffet. So, you know. One thing about that place is, which is kind of cool, is they took you on your birthday. If you have your ID with you, you get a free meal. So you can get like free all you can eat food. So good shit.
Hey.
So, but yeah. And then before that, I sort of, you know, on the way up, because it's about an hour or two, maybe an hour and changed away from where I currently live. So on the way up, we sort of stopped off at these sort of old antique, what do you call it? Like they're called antique malls. They're not so common out in, you know, in up in New York. They don't really have anything like that. But in areas like Pennsylvania or any other places in, you know, in the United States, they have these pretty much taken like old factory buildings or old malls where they sort of people rent out space to essentially sell off their old stuff from their home. So I was just walking around and I sort of found all kinds of fun stuff that I found that I had as a kid. Like it was like this RoboCop car that was that used to back when most of us were kids here. There was a RoboCop cartoon. A rated R movie had a cartoon, by the way.
That was Channel 2 that showed it, right? I believe it was. Channel 2 or 4, one of those.
Yeah, it was one of those. I think it might have been. Yeah, either that or was syndicated on Channel 11, you know, which is WPX.
Yeah.
Whatever. But anyway, that show that had a toy line. So I found the RoboCop car they had made for it, which is kind of this cool look. It didn't look like his car from the movie, and it had RoboCop in it, which was awesome. And then I found some cars and stuff that I had, some all this old stuff. A Teddy Ruxpin I found, like a really good condition Teddy Ruxpin. Looked like it was new. So, yeah, it was pretty fun and nostalgic. And I also found, what was it, just for the hell of it, I found this. This is actually pretty cool. It's, so it's what this is a World's Fair, it's a World's Fair, booklet that you would buy if you were going to see the World's Fair in New York. Apparently,
1965.
Yep, 1965. Apparently, I found the one guy, because oddest thing ever, the one guy who essentially was from New York who had spots in this place where he was trying to get rid of his old stuff. So I was like noticing weird stuff. Like, there's an unusual amount of New York-based stuff here. Like, literally a whole line of police badges going from like years ago all the way up to the modern one, a bunch of other things that were taken out from the city. So I'm like, what is this doing down here? So I found this World's Fair, a bunch of World's Fair stuff. And I talked to the lady and she's like, you know, cause there you have to sort of open up. You have to talk to somebody to open up the cases to get whatever's inside of them. So I talked to the lady. I'm like, yeah, I did noticing there's a lot of New York based stuff here. She's like, oh yeah, that the guy who owns this and a section over on the other side is actually from New York, and this is a lot. This is a lot of his stuff, so that's why you're noticing a lot of the it's where it's from. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So yeah, for those who don't know, me, Tony, and Chris actually grew up in and around Kew Gardens or Flushing, Queens.
That's right.
Right next to where the World's Fair was, which was in Flushing Meadow Park. So those of you who don't know what that is, if you ever see pictures from New York, you see this giant,
tell Men in Black.
Oh yeah, pretty much Men in Black. If you've ever seen Men in Black, you saw the giant Earth, I don't know, what do you call it?
The globe?
The Unisphere, and then those things that look like flying saucers. Those are all things from the. From the world, like leftovers from when the World's Fair was there.
Yeah, so, yeah, that stuff we all saw when we were kids extensively, you know?
Yep, yeah. Literally locked down. You look out the window, you could pretty much see it, you know? At least I live close enough to see it outside.
But, yeah. I went there as an adult, right? Probably like 2 or 3 years ago. And you know how it is when you go back to see something when you're an adult, when you were a kid, you're like, oh, this isn't as big as I remember. You know, because that globe was massive, you know, and I mean, it's still big, don't get me wrong, but like, oh, it's smaller than I remember, you know, yeah, because I'm fucking bigger, you know,
yeah, it's good stuff. I had that same thing because I found one of those old Secret Wars Spider-Man figures, cheap Secret Wars. I picked it up, and I'm like, this is a lot smaller than I remember it because I have these big man hands. And granted, you're tiny, and you have these little hands, you're like, hey, this is the peak, this is great.
Oh, hold on a second here. I'm sorry if I pronounce your name wrong. Black Viet, he goes, giant globe and the saucer. I remember when I used to live in South Ozone Park until the year 2000. There you go, man.
Oh, there you go.
Good stuff. All right, man. So I'm glad you had a good birthday, better than last year, obviously, you know.
Oh yeah, I won't go into detail, but it was a lot sadder
last year. You know. Man. All right, people, let's get into some questions. First up, I fucked this up. I got to center it right. and then we'll start. Again, we didn't get a lot, probably because not a lot of gaming news, but still good in the hood, you know.
Yeah.
All right, first up, Mob Hits. Is Xbox the new RPG powerhouse? This is because they own Bethesda, which has a lot of RPGs, and Obsidian, right? They got a lot of RPGs. Okay. And there's another company, Brett, maybe you could remind me, but we talked about this on here before. It's like, oh, Xbox has like all the Western RPG companies except for Bioware. They got them all.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but the answer is not yet. Like, it's poising itself to try and be. Yes. Is it there yet? No. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they've all but announced the exclusivity for almost all of these games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Project Athia and all the...
Well, that's Square Enix Project Athia.
Yeah, but yeah. Is that coming out on PlayStation?
That's for everything.
Oh, cool! It's like dope.
Yeah. And that's a JRPG. You know, if you really think about it.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought there for a second, but yeah, they basically have a lot of stuff like that, but they haven't announced anything. They haven't announced that Starfield is going to be exclusive. They haven't announced that Elder Scrolls is going to be exclusive. They haven't really announced a lot yet, but. If you've been watching them, you've been noticing the companies that they've been gathering, and like me, assume that, well, there's some news coming eventually. I don't know when it is. I think Microsoft's really going to take off in probably around the 2-year mark, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and we already know Obsidian. They are going to be making exclusives. They got that new one. What's the name of it? The one that looks like, you know, standard medieval type RPG. You know?
I can't remember.
Oh, it began with an A, right? I forgot the name.
Yeah, if you guys are in the chat, let us know, please do. But you know what we're talking about. That's, you know, that's going to be exclusive. That's no question about that. Yeah. Although, let's just be real here. You know Starfield, bro. That's going to be exclusive, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
They have yet to announce it, but when they do, it's just going to explode.
Well, say it'll be the leader in Western RPGs.
Western RPGs, yeah. Hold on, real quick. Logic Win says In Exile is the third RPG team that I was referring to. Yes. Playground Games is doing Fable, right? That's another RPG right there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if they do a good job with that, I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. You know, and again, I keep saying this. I think Elder Scrolls 6, Fallout 5 will be Xbox exclusive. So,
I think the one thing about the one key about a lot of this is because they haven't officially announced any sort of consoles it was for. They just showed you a logo. At that point in time, I feel like. There was nothing really officially signed at that point in time. Yeah. I think when you start seeing more things, yes, then you'll see that stuff. But then again, like how long ago was Mass Effect? I mean, granted, you can't lock down Mass Effect. You know, Mass Effect's EA, so whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, the first one was exclusive on Xbox for a while.
I mean, to be honest, this is the biggest mistake that Microsoft had ever done.
They should have bought BioWare, man.
They should have bought BioWare right then and there. Because, I mean, what was BioWare originally doing? Most of their games were, at least a lot of their games were all exclusive to Xbox.
Knights of the Old Republic was exclusive, yeah.
Yeah, Knights of the Old Republic, Jade Empire.
Yeah, that's right.
Mass Effect.
Jade Empire. Yeah. That was just a good fucking game.
Man. Yo, by the way, circling back to a conversation we had off air, Brett, this is what I want to tweet out. Bring BioWare back. Like, man, Mass Effect is so fucking good. But yeah, so I think Xbox, you're right. It's not there yet, but it's poised to be the big Western RPG powerhouse for sure. Western RPG. Go ahead, Brett. Brett first and then Manny.
Oh, go ahead.
Didn't they say tweet something like they have a big announcement for like a big unannounced RPG coming at E3?
No, I don't know. I haven't heard that.
Was something going on. Yeah, they kind of made a pre-announcement that there's an unreleased thing, like a brand new IP that nobody's heard about. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, I heard that, but I didn't hear the RPG part. But I did hear that. You know,
I thought I heard the RPG part. I could be mistaken again. This is you hear in Twitter. So take it with a grain of salt.
You know.
But the Twitter sphere seems to be indicating that they're announcing they're planning some big announcement. Now, when they say big announcement, too, you realize that's them kind of releasing the rumor of the wild. So that could be like, oh, check out this indie game, these five new indie games coming to Xbox. Like, ooh, fucking woohoo. But it could actually be them announcing some sort of exclusive. I'm going to be very interested to see what their play is, because it's obvious right now that they have some kind of card, but they haven't played it yet. Am I the only one that sees it that way?
Maybe. They probably do. I mean, these companies always hold some stuff behind the, you know, or close to the chest, I should say. So pretty sure they got something.
There's so much business going on and no gaming news coming out. It's weird.
I don't know. You know,
they have all these companies. They have all these people fucking going to work doing what? Doing what?
Other than the initiative, we kind of know what all the other studios are working on. We know 343 is working on Infinite. Bethesda is working on Starfield, Elder Scrolls, probably Fallout, and you know, id and all that other stuff. They're working on probably a Doom or something. Coalition, they were talking about how the whole thing with Unreal Engine 5 Coalition. Also, Obsidian, they're working on that one game, that Western RPG we just talked about earlier. Double Fine, we know what they're working on. Isn't Initiative working on Fable?
Who's working on Fable? Somebody said it in the chat. Playground Games, that's what Logic Win says. I don't know.
Okay, so
yeah, I don't know who that is.
I think Playground Games, but yeah. I can't remember. Can't remember exactly what they are.
So don't we know like what most studios are working on? That's like,
well, Double Fine, we don't. All we know is Psychonauts, but Psychonauts is a multi-platform game.
But none of those have been officially revealed yet. Like, you know, they announce them and then they fucking reveal them. So like, we haven't gotten reveals for any of these big projects in the works, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, so you have 6-8 big games you're gonna drop. Like, what are you actually going to announce as news? Because once you announce it, you give us a date to look forward to the mat, and you haven't done that part yet. They're just going to be like, there's all these things that we're working on.
Hey, that's, well, E3 is coming, so who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm expecting this E3 to be interesting, man.
Oh, man. Manny, getting here. What were you going to say before?
Oh, no. I mean, it's just, the only thing I was going to say was just, we didn't know. I already said it, which was we don't know what the Double Fine is really doing, but yeah. But I got to say, they are. The Microsoft right now is essentially a who's who of American development in general.
Yeah.
Like Western
development. Western development,
Western development. Because literally they have the beginnings of the first person shooter genre, id Software.
That's right.
They have a lot of the classic RPGs from the past, coming through Fallout and
Elder Scrolls.
And Elder Scrolls, so stuff like that. So it's like they pretty much have all those old games, all those old franchises that everybody's from years and years ago. Almost like that's literally Sony deciding or Nintendo deciding to literally pick up Squaresoft, or Square Enix, Capcom, and fucking Konami at once.
No, you're right about that. So it's going to be interesting to see what Xbox does in terms of Western RPGs. So if you're a fan of those, definitely keep your eye on Xbox. And just going on to your point, they got the old school stuff, right? But they also got they're not new school, but I'm going to just label that as new school. They got Obsidian making new RPGs, in the vein of the old classics. So
it's funny because Obsidian is the old guys who created the Fallout franchise.
I thought it was them. Was it them?
No, Obsidian is like built of all the old people that.
Yeah, right about that.
Obsidian is Black Isle Studio.
Yes, that's right. So yeah, it's good. Yeah, they got a lot of heavy hitters. So
I'm really hoping they're working on the next fall. Like if they come out and say, every Fallout fan feels the same way. I just want to preface this. If they come out and said, Fallout 5 by Bethesda in conjunction with Obsidian, people would shit their pants.
They probably would, because they love New Vegas. So yeah, good stuff. All right? Anything else? Go ahead.
What if they got Obsidian to do essentially a remaster of the original first two Fallouts, with the modern stuff?
Oh, that would be fucking amazing. That'd be so great.
I mean, you can currently get those games, can you?
Yeah.
On Steam and stuff. Or GOG.
Steam. Right. Anybody else have any? Oh, go ahead, Brad. Go ahead.
Well, just on the vein of, you know, what is Xbox doing? Like, if I remember correctly, we were talking about E3 and like the big developers kind of abandoning E3 in years prior. Microsoft is definitely making an appearance. Is Sony going to be there this year?
No, they already said they're not.
Okay. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
Sony's going to do their own thing, just like EA. You know, they're not going to be. Activision's not going to be at E3 either. You know, they're going
to. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The standard has kind of become not to go. So I'm wondering, while we're on the subject of what's Microsoft going to do, they're going to be at EA.
At E3.
Does that indicate E3? Excuse me. Does that indicate you think that they have some big news finally coming?
I mean, they haven't stopped. Yeah, they haven't stopped being at E3. So they're just. It just seems like they're just doing what they've always been doing. You know.
I thought they didn't go last year.
No, they weren't. Nobody went last year. You know.
They were at E3, but they weren't.
They were off site. You know.
Yes, they had because they have their own theater. They have their own theater like right across the street from where E3 is happening. They literally just moved their press conference and all of their game demos into that theater.
Yeah.
As opposed to having it inside of the convention center and paying the exorbitant prices of whatever the ESA wants to charge developers. Yeah. So they're there, but not there.
Okay, that leads me to a question since we're kind of a little low on time, if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah.
What do you
a little low on questions?
Low on questions, yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys expect from E3 this year? You know, it's coming up into the second year of the consoles being out. Like, well, they not
first
the
full year,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
full year of the consoles being out, right? So generally, you kind of expect some kind of news, but we've also been in the middle of a pandemic. So, like, are you guys hopes high or low for this E3?
Like I've said this before on the show, I think this E3 is going to be a stopgap for a lot of these companies. I think they're going to announce some things here and there, nothing big, and they're going to save the big announcements for their own dedicated digital shows. That's what I think. So Microsoft will be at E3, but I don't think they're going to show their big stuff until the show they have coming on this summer. You know, so I think. We should expect that from a lot of these companies. Like they're going to show you something at E3, but not the big stuff. They're going to save that for their own shit.
They got to get this shit down. Do an announcement at E3. Do a reveal at your own fucking thing.
Yeah, because EA is not going to be at E3 at all, I believe. But they're doing their own show in July. They're like, fuck June. We're going July. And Activision's not doing anything at E3. I have almost no hopes for E3. I think it's just going to be like, here's a double A game, here's an indie game, wait for the big stuff on our own show later. So that's my thoughts. What about the rest of you guys? Yeah. Chris, go ahead, Ben.
No, I mean, I agree with that. I honestly don't see the point of E3. If you're not going to have the show stuff and you're going to have everybody fractured off into their own events and you have to wait. Like, yes, they're going to hold back the big stuff for their own events. Like, there's no way Activision is going to pull out their big guns at E3. Why?
And Chris, also add this, the Jeff Keighley show is still happening.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, so.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Over there. Yeah, so I think some of these companies will be like, we'll save it for the Jeff Keighley show, you know?
When's that thing?
It's happening during E3 and during the entire summer. Remember, the summer, that's the whole name of it. Summer Game Festival, whatever the fuck it's called. Okay. Summer of Games, excuse me. And that's the thing, because I saw people very excited about E3. E3 is back. We're going to have a week of solid news. It's actually 3 days, and you realize that all these other shows are still going to be happening, right? Mm-hmm. And companies have to sparse out the information, so don't expect much from E3. I hope I'm wrong, but I really don't see it being, you know, the E3 of... E3 is irrelevant, man. It really is in this day and age. Like, with all these other companies doing their own thing, fuck's the point, you know?
Yeah, man. The only reason why I would prefer E3 as to something as opposed to, like, for example, the Summer Games Festival or somewhere, what, I don't know what the hell that shit's called, is that it's too spread out, man. It's too spread out, and like they're trying to make it an event, but it's not an event. Yeah. It's a series of little events. And I see.
No, I just want to make it clear. I agree with you, but that's not what we're gonna get. If it was just, hey, everybody, we're doing this week, I would fucking love that. But we both know what's gonna happen. E3's gonna do their thing. Yeah. Then everybody else is gonna do their own thing. So I'm like, what the fuck's the point of this shit?
No, yeah, and I agree with you. But I think even if they have, I don't know, three good announcements, in a weekend, weekend-ish, you know, like the first couple of days and the latter half of the weekend.
It is actually happening on Saturday, by the way. It's like Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm like, kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know?
So even if they have, even if there's three announcements, three big announcements throughout that little window, that'll still feel more, you know, compelling and more bigger than, for example, maybe one announcement throughout a whole fucking month.
Yeah.
That Summer Games Fest last year was, did we get a big announcement? It's like, it felt like it just dragged and dragged on. Everyone was just expecting something and we didn't get shit.
I can't think of anything, to be honest.
I could be wrong. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
And this was last year when nothing was happening. Nothing else was happening. So I do agree that E3 is not nowhere near the status that it used to be, even in more recent times when Sony was going. But I'm going to go with the Adam stuff. They got to have some.
Got to have some. Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on. Next question from Mr. Bob Hits again. This one is kind of related to something we were talking about off air. We were talking about the Mortal Kombat movie, by the way, how trash it was. And how people's tastes in general have just gone down the roof, man. Like, or there's a word for it, but like their standards have gone down. Standards have just gone down. Like, no, if you like the Mortal Kombat movie, that's great, but the movie is fucking bad. Just admit it, you know? Just admit it's fucking bad, you know? So the question is, and I got to control myself. I got to read this shit before I answer it. With the recent Mortal Kombat movie reboot, is it time for a Street Fighter reboot? No. 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 Stop it.
Oh, you mean The Legend of Chun-Li? We got to reboot that one, right?
Go home and be a family man. Fuck that shit, you know? Like, seriously, does anybody here want to see a fucking live action, another attempt at a live action Street Fighter movie?
Funny, that web series they did a while ago wasn't too bad.
Hey, Manny, that web series they did for Mortal Kombat was pretty good, too.
It was, too. Was it with Michael G. White in the
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, Jax?
Yeah.
How is it that the fucking cheap web series had a better cast than the goddamn movie?
Yeah.
With the exception of the guy who plays it, who always plays the Japanese characters. The guy that's in that movie playing Scorpion plays a Japanese, like essentially a Japanese samurai or ninja in every single movie. Like Ken Watanabe, he's the other guy that they get to play the samurai or the ninja.
He's the other Ken Watanabe.
Yeah, well, like, okay. For instance, that guy who plays Scorpion, he was in the Wolverine playing a samurai yakuza.
Yeah.
He was in Avengers Endgame playing a samurai yakuza. Hawkeye kills him in that one, and he always seems to play that same sort of samurai yakuza / Japanese guy role.
Yeah, that's funny. Guess he's been. I'm surprised that guy wasn't in a Ghost of Tsushima, man.
I mean, let's see.
Maybe
no,
he was.
Maybe he was. The one thing about Ghost of Tsushima is they got Asian actors that didn't have accents.
Yeah, that is true.
They didn't get anybody, like they got Japanese actors or Asian actors that didn't have like heavy duty accents. But who knows? See, maybe he is in there.
By the way, that trend is kind of bothering me. If a game is set in a specific country, give them fucking accents. I'm playing Resident Evil 8. I love that game. Why the fuck does everybody have American accents?
Yeah. The one that, here's the thing. Like, Lady Dimitrescu is okay because she's kind of got like a British-y accent.
Yeah.
She's the only one that's got it.
Man thing.
You man thing. You know, like, she works. But then you have like somebody like fucking, what are those names? Krauser or whatever his name is?
Heisenberg,
yeah. Why doesn't that guy have like a cool German accent? Like, I will destroy you. With his magnetic powers? Come on, that's fucking Magneto.
Yeah, he was Magneto.
He's Magneto.
By the way, Heisenberg, I was uncertain about him on principle, man.
Uh-oh.
Brian got it. Oh, man. What the fuck were we even talking about? Yeah, Street Fighter? No, nobody. No, we don't need that shit. We do not need it.
To answer Manny's question about why is it that the Hollywood film is worse. Because Hollywood is trash.
Which one was that?
Hollywood is trash.
You're asking, like, how is it that the web series of Mortal Kombat is better than the film? Yeah, because Hollywood is trash.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hollywood,
yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, it's a common thing where, like, they really cannot. I don't know, working in the industry is at least on the animation side. I swear, man, people just want to just add their own, put their own mark on something. Like, you look at a film like, you know, I liked the stupid Silent Hill movie. Granted, it wasn't very good. But at the same time, it's like, why didn't they just do Silent Hill? Why did this guy have to, switch and twirl things around? And, you know, why, you know, I feel like every single instance when this sort of stuff is done, it ends up being, you know, messed up. But then when you look at something like a Marvel movie that literally is taking a lot of that into perspective, right? They seem to be doing a really good job with it.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
And they found that essentially leading a little bit more into what the original content was ends up working out a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the thing is with the Marvel cinematic movies, for the most part, because there's been changes, obviously, for the most part, they stick true to the spirit of the characters. You know, if you get that right, you're good. But yeah, Brian, imagine that a web series that was done by passionate people who love the franchise was better than some shitty Hollywood movie with like 10,000 cooks in the kitchen trying to put their own take on it. Imagine that, you know.
Big surprise.
Yeah. And they probably had more sets in those fucking things than they did in the movie, you know?
Yeah, like, you know,
movies are bad with the sets?
Brian, they literally had 3 sets.
Okay. As a matter of fact, watch this film now.
It was, yeah, you know what? Watch it because I want to hear your perspective. But when we were doing the spoiler cast for it, we had Jose Polanco, my unofficial cousin. He had it running, he had it on a projector in his screen, you know, on his screen. And we're doing this for an hour. I'm like, the set hasn't changed. They've been in the same place for an hour. It's insane. Mm-hmm. Insane. Movie's so bad. Again,
by the way, Brian.
Go ahead.
I don't need you to see this movie either. I'll do you a favor and just tell you don't watch it, man. Just for your own sanity.
I watch Moonlight, okay? So I'm way past that point.
Yeah. No, Brian, watch Mortal Kombat because I need to hear your specific take on it because I know it'll be hilarious. See,
man, now, this movie is so fucking bad, man.
It's bad. It is bad. And again, like I said, if you like Mortal Kombat, that's great. Just admit that it's fucking bad. That's all I ask. Admit it's okay to like shitty movies. Be proud of the fact that you like shitty movies. Just be honest about it, you know?
Okay, compared to Suicide Squad, better or worse?
Oh, it's worse.
Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
This is Katana.
At least they had that moment.
No, Carlos is right. Suicide Squad is better.
Suicide Squad had a, like, Harley Quinn was way better than anything that was in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and it had more than 3 sets.
God damn.
Oh, that is true.
Well, they were on that stupid street for like a week.
They were.
It seemed like they were on that freaking block.
Suicide Squad was so bad. The main villain was one of them. I know it's just, I don't care. I don't care. It's stupid. It's stupid. Movie's bad, you know? But you're right. At least I had Harley Quinn, you know, in, you know, looking good. So at least there's something, you know?
At least Deadshot wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting Deadshot to be kind of horrible in there, but I actually kind of like Will Smith as Deadshot.
Yeah,
I like
Will Smith. He's good, you know? And he gave us some fun memes. Mortal Kombat didn't give us any memes, you know? We're still quoting that Katana shit till this day, you know? Mortal Kombat, we're ready for Katana. And our boy Slipknot. Oh my God, Suicide. Yes, Logic Wins goes, I must like bad movies because I enjoyed Suicide. Again, if you like bad movies, embrace the shit. Just admit it.
You don't need to be ashamed that you didn't like
it. Remember, just because you like the bad movie doesn't mean you're a bad person.
I mean, the thing about it is, like, here's the thing. Like, you can find, most people can find enjoyment in a lot of things, but at the same time, just because you found enjoyment in it doesn't exactly mean it's good.
Yeah.
You can you can like garbage.
By the way, the thing that spurred this specific thing on today, I saw this on Twitter, threw it to Manny because it was based on a conversation I had with him earlier. Somebody said we need to recognize Attack of the Clones for the masterpiece it is. Masterpiece and Attack of the Clones should do not belong in the same sentence. I don't care how much you like that movie. You admit it's bad. You know, yes, it's better than The Last Jedi. It's infinitely better, but it's still bad. You know? Come on now.
It's better than the last fucking Star Wars movie. What was that? Rise of Skywalker?
Rise of Skywalker. That movie, yo, Carlos, that movie was so bad I never even watched it.
You know what's crazy? Like, in principle, objectively, Rise of Skywalker is worse than The Last Jedi. The only reason why Last Jedi for me is worse is because it started it.
Yeah, that's right. That trend, you know.
But yeah, I mean, I looked at that account that you talked about. I think they're trolling because they in their bio it said Anakin apologist CEO, and okay. I'm like yeah, this they're it's a shtick because there's no way anybody thinks that movie's a masterpiece. That movie is horrible, man.
Hey, listen,
it gets everywhere.
Yeah, all I'm saying is there are dudes who genuinely like Wild Wild West out there, so you know. I would be surprised.
You can like the Wild Wild West, but you gotta admit that is garbage.
It's a bad movie.
It's a horrible fucking movie. If you like it, that's fantastic. Do your thing. Admit it's bad.
And logic wins. I mean, we all like horrible movies.
Yeah,
man.
We do.
We're doing the pre-throwdown. I like Leprechaun for different reasons than probably most people like Leprechaun.
You don't?
Leprechaun.
She's shy. But I can admit that movie is terrible.
Trash, man. It's okay. It's okay to admit you like bad movies, man. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's guilty pleasure. That's the term.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And Mortal Kombat was bad. Let's move on, man. Moving on to the next question. This one is about, this one's from Black Mage. It's about our favorite company, Nintendo.
Oh, it's a cereal now.
Do you think Nintendo will ever adopt a Game Pass like service, or will Nintendo continue to be Nintendo? Nintendo will continue to be Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yep.
They will. Oh, man. Yeah,
Chris, go off, man. What do you say?
Oh, this is the company. Like, look at the current Switch Online, and look at the shit offerings they give you for the NES library. They could have done the virtual console from the previous things. They could have done quality games. I mean, some of the free games are like shit, like not even RBI Baseball or good NES games. They give you shit sports games. They give you Mr. Do and Dodgeball and games nobody... I don't know anybody that played those when I was a kid. It's like they don't give you the A-list or even the B-list of NES and Super NES games. They give you this shit like you never heard. Like, who, I want to play golf? Get the fuck out of here. You know, so to say like, oh, they're going to put their A-list like new releases for free with Nintendo Switch Online, never happened.
No way.
Never happened. You could pay them $200 a month for that service. They'll never give you that.
I don't really have anything to add. That's pretty much it. Nintendo is going to be Nintendo, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they do have, like Chris mentioned, that Switch Online with the NES and the SNES collections, which is kind of like that in a way. It's just implemented in a really bad way. And obviously, they don't have the cloud stuff, like xCloud, and also it's not available outside of Switch environment. Like, you can't get it on PC or anything like that. So it's like the most watered down version of what Xbox Game Pass can be. So yeah, I don't think they'll ever have it. Well, I wouldn't say ever, because I still think that services like Game Pass are kind of like the future. You know, PS Now is kind of trying to do that in a way, but Sony is nonchalant about services like that are not the main stuff. But yeah, I think they're gonna try for sure. Yeah,
but it would be it's gonna be implemented so poorly. It would be the worst version. If you ask Sony and Nintendo to imitate Game Pass, Nintendo's would be the distant third version of it. Like it would, yeah. It would be not even an imitation; it'd be an insult to like whatever Microsoft has implemented.
But right? Here's like, the thing, Chris.
Yeah,
it will. I do agree that it'll probably be the worst implementation of it, kind of like how they do the worst implementation of a lot of stuff. But their fan base and their first party titles almost always overcome stupid stuff they do. So that's the only thing that I probably would add to that is, you know, having a service that has Zelda, all the Zeldas, all the Marios, all the Animal Crossings, etc. I think that'll you know, get the crowd like hot and boiled like crazy, especially the Nintendo fans, as opposed to Game Pass, which is an amazing service. They just don't have the first party games that drive people crazy.
Yeah, but they won't have the first party games that people actually want. It will take years for them to do that. Like, if they did a Game Pass and the people think you'd get Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey on there, you'll get Mario 64 and Majora's Mask if you're lucky.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Right?
Well, hopefully the remake versions of them, not the shitty ones. Yeah.
Wait, did Mario 64 get remade?
No. No, they re-released it.
But it's an emulation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an emulation. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, because Ocarina of Time definitely did. Majora's Mask 2 did get, you know, remastered. Yes. Yeah.
Remade, but, remade. Yes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
But was it the. I think they did do like a remade version of Mario 64 for the Nintendo DS, but that has never really made anywhere.
That's right. That. Yeah, right.
But that one's kind of a worst version of it. It's really it's low res and stuff, because it has to be on the DS. The DS wasn't really high res.
They didn't even add like new models or anything.
No, they did. They added new models and everything like that to it. They switched out the models and some of the texturing stuff in there, so it looked better than the Nintendo 64. The only thing is it's on this little tiny screen.
Yeah, real quick, Blitz says Nintendo couldn't even be bothered to update their games for Mario's 35th anniversary.
Nope. Just put an emulator on there. That's what.
Same thing with Metroid 2, 35 years, nothing. You know. Mm. So yeah, Nintendo will give you no type of Game Pass. If they do, it'll be 20 years from now. You know.
Yeah,
and it won't work very well. Oh. Yeah.
Paisano. All right, let's move on. Next question. This one is from Jeff Main. I think this may be the first time we're answering a question by him.
That seems like a new name to me.
Yeah, so hello, Mr. Jeff Main. But I've seen him. Yeah. His question is actually pretty simple. I mean, we've talked about it in passing, but this one's more direct. What you guys... Oh, shit. The visual aid guy.
What? You know who it is.
What do you guys think of the DualSense's adaptive triggers? Specifically, he wants our thoughts on what we think about, you know, games like Call of Duty, where like it'll give you a different pressures depending on the gun, or like Resogun, where you have to press it halfway down to shoot, things like that.
Resogun or
Returnal, my bad. Resogun's the other hard smart game, you know. Yes. Things like that. What do you guys think about that? I think it's cool. I think it's really cool. It adds I guess, for the lack of a better term, like a more immediacy to it. It's like, well, I got to really press this motherfucker down to get, you know, get my result. I could see how it could be annoying, but I think in Returnal, it's actually pretty cool. That's one of the cool things about the game. I love the way it implements the controls and all that. I haven't tried it for Call of Duty. I mean, if Adam was here, he could probably tell. I think he turns it off, though. He didn't like it too much, but I think that's pretty cool. You know, I'm all for it, man, you know. But I can see how some people won't, because again, sometimes you gotta really jab on this shit to get it to work. Carlos, what do you say, man?
I like the implementation of it, or the integration of it to the controller. Sometimes the implementation can get a little bit too much. I mean, I haven't played too many PS5 games where it's been I haven't played too many PS5 games in general. For example, Astrobot or Astro's Playroom, I think. Well, I forgot.
Astro's Playroom.
That game did a really good job, but there are levels, for example, like the jumping level. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
Where it can just get way too much, man. You're like, man, all right, that's enough, man. That's too much. Like, you can definitely saturate that kind of that kind of enjoyment of using the triggers. Also, one concern that I have is just a competitive advantage in multiplayer. For example, in Call of Duty, if you're using that adaptive triggers and they have different feels for different guns, it might give you a disadvantage against people who don't have adaptive triggers.
That's what Adam said. He said he turns it off for multiplayer because it's a hindrance.
Yeah. So, campaigns and single player games, I feel like it could be implemented in a really good way. Just don't overdo it. But yeah, I'm all for them. They did a good job.
Yeah. Chris, the adaptive triggers, not the controller, just the adaptive triggers.
I did like it in Demon's Souls when you like have to use the bow and arrow.
Yeah, that was good.
And yeah, the tensioning and everything was fine. But it's funny enough, in Resident Evil 8, I need to pull real fast, so I turned it off. So because the trigger pulls were really hard, especially when you change guns.
That's right,
like,
yeah.
Nah. Yeah, I'm like, nah, I'm going to die. I got to turn this off. I just want to shoot faster. So there's sometimes when I enjoyed the experience, but in terms of like in a more intense game, like I just shut it off.
Yeah. Brett, adaptive triggers.
I mean, they're cool, they're novelty, but like everybody else said, they kind of really don't help with the actual gameplay a lot of times. And they kind of take some getting used to, and I don't know. I like them, but I also feel that a good controller should have as little between you and the game as possible. Like, it's supposed to be like you're reaching right in the game. I'm not supposed to be super aware of the controller, so the fact that it responds differently than I expected is a little version breaking. So it's one step forward, one step back. I'm feeling pretty impartial about it.
Yeah. By the way, just a little bit of a quick aside, because I'll freely admit, I think most games don't control very well. There's always that little bit of like, oh, I'm fighting a controller. The one game that made me go, oh shit, I didn't realize I was playing the first Infamous. I was like, the controls were so perfect in that, the controller just vanished. You know, it's almost like I was controlling with my mind, you know? So good. Brian, what do you think of the adaptive triggers?
I'm kind of with most people here. It's, again, it's a cool idea, but I don't think that sweet spot has been found yet. And it's going to be hard for developers to find that exact sweet spot between it's there, but you don't notice that it's there too much. Like we talked about Tony.
Yeah,
and
the subtlety.
I think that they have about 2 years to find that sweet spot before they just stop caring, like most things. Because again, six axis was meant to be a thing on like in the PS3 days, and then they just couldn't find that right sweet spot. And then is it even in the DualSense?
Yeah, it is. Sure it is. Yeah, it's in there.
But again, how, like, we're like two gens over from that, and how many people are using it? You almost never see it unless it's like a first party game on like a launch title, because
Astros,
they have to put it in there just to say, hey, this thing's in there. But then years down the line, it's gone. So I think we have like a year and a half left of it being a thing, and then after that, it'll just stop existing anymore.
Yeah. Again, like I, you know, Brian, you and I talked about this. I think Returnal makes a good case of how to use the not only the adaptive triggers, but just the features of the DualSense overall, because it's subtle, right? Like, again, I liked the way Astro's Playroom did it, but it was just bludgeoning you over the head with it, which is cool because it was a showcase game. But I think Returnal does it really well. That's probably one of the best things about the game. Like, you feel the rain and like the wind and all this other shit. But yeah, you're right. We'll see what happens if these companies are still using it a year from now, you know? We shall see.
We'll see about when I actually get a PlayStation 2, which is probably in 2 years. PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I can't ask you about this because you haven't experienced it yet, you know?
Yeah, I'll find out. They're like, hey, what are you talking about, this adaptive trigger thing? None of these games use it.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Manny, do you want to chime in? Because you haven't even experienced it yet, but, you know. Why not?
Just no, I mean, I think it's interesting. I mean, I haven't yet to try it. I mean, to be honest, I've barely seen a PlayStation 5, a physical PlayStation 5 in an actual location. With the exception of with the exception of seeing the shell at a Best Buy, And I finally see the control. I've seen the controllers actually at the local Target, and yeah, but that's about it. So
yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, the controller, baby.
No, but I mean, I've never like touched the controller. I'm like, yeah.
So you do not know the power.
I did when I did see the final PlayStation 5 in person. I'm like, that is big, isn't it?
It's huge. Oh man! All right. Moving on to the next question. This one is from Rhett Retry. We've had him before. What's going on, brother? By the way, just up front, I cannot talk about this game.
Okay.
Because I have the game, I have the review code. I can't talk about it until embargo. But I'll let you guys talk about it. Have you guys seen the Biomutant gameplay released by Game Informer 5 days ago? If so, what are your thoughts? I think it looks dope. So Brett? did you guys see this specific gameplay? Actually, if you didn't see it, just tell us about Biomutant.
I'm really excited about Biomutant. It looks dope. It looks fun. It looks irreverent. I can't see any downside.
Anybody else? Biomutant.
Me and Brett bombarded Tony with Biomutant things after the show on one of the episodes.
Yeah, I'll say this though, because I was under the assumption that this was like a B or C grade Ratchet and Clank ripoff, because I see animals and shit. I'm like, okay, this is a Ratchet and Clank ripoff. No, it's not that at all. It's totally different, you know. So yeah. You guys definitely knew, you know, opened my eyes. By the way, I will admit this though. I still need to play it because Mass Effect has just been taking my time, you know. But yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the my only issue with that game is just the fucking name. It just sounds the dopest.
So generic. So generic.
Like, I want to play Biomutant. Wait, you mean some that lousy? So it sounds like a lousy B movie.
It sounds like that movie your boy made.
Oh, Biofreak.
Yeah, Biofreak. I wish Adam was here for that. Yeah, Biofreak.
Jamal should sue Biomutant. For those who don't know, me, Adam, and a friend of ours, Jamal, made a movie called Biofreak. You could actually do a search on it, I think.
Was it on YouTube?
I think it is. Look for Striking Star Entertainment or something like that, and Biofreak, and you should be able to find it. But yeah, I play three roles in it. I play like a doctor, a custodian. I get murdered all three times.
That's funny.
But I'm wearing a mustache or a beard or something else. But yeah, anyway, yeah, we made this movie, this movie about this essentially this Biofreak that just goes around. It's a slasher film. And just goes around murdering people. And he says, "What did you do to me?" You know, that's it.
That's funny.
Yeah, imagine it was Biofreak, where it's like you're playing that murderer, the murderer, the Biofreak murderer.
Yeah, what about the rest of you guys, Biomutant?
I've been curious about it since I've seen that first trailer, so I'd like to try it.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw it, it didn't really get my attention, so I don't think I'm going to play it.
I didn't know what type of game it was until now.
Yeah, they didn't really advertise this game correctly.
It looked like, I mean, when it first came out, like that first trailer, it just looked like, I think Tony was right about that, where it sort of looked like a generic, you know, sort of
3D action platformer, type.
Yeah, 3D action platformer.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's not that at all. It is something different, you know?
Yeah.
But I can't talk about it too much because embargo. So we'll see. Hold on. Oh, I'm getting a comment here. This is from Karthki Kesu. Yo, thanks, Tony, for introducing me to Returnal. I heard a lot of flack about it, but I tried it and loved it. I like difficult games, and it's a lot like a third-person Doom Eternal on Nightmare difficulty vibe. There you go, man. Again, when I write my previews, in this case, a preview, it's not a review because I didn't finish the game. I was just like, let me just be objective as possible. And even though I made it clear that it wasn't a game for me, the shit I said in there made people go, oh shit, this is a game for me. I want to get it. So I did my job. You know, I directed the game, or I directed the right people to this game, you know? So that's good stuff. That's what it's about, man.
Well, I mean, I think that's a lot. I think that's a difficult for, I think, a lot of writers to do, to sort of realize that it's not only about them, but it's also about giving a person enough to where they can make their own decisions.
It ain't hard for me, man. It's real fucking easy. You know, like I said, when I do a review or a preview or whatever, I always ask the main question I always have is, what is this game trying to do and how well does it do it? Returnal does everything it is trying to do excellently. Not for me, but it does it very well. That's being objective, you know? So I'm glad I directed people to it, you know? Even though after that, I can't get past that third biome, bro. Can't do it. Fuck it. And by the way, I've noticed that seems to be the cutoff point. Like, if you get past that third biome, you will beat that game. If you ain't getting past it, you ain't beating that game, you know? Obviously, if you can't get past the third biome, you're not beating the game, period. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you pass that threshold, apparently it gets a little easier, but after like fucking 10 hours on that specific biome, not the whole game, that specific biome, because I put 31 hours into it, I'm like, nah, I'm done. I'm good. Great, great game, but not for me, man. Fuck that shit, you know? All right, Biomune, keep an eye out. All right, these questions are from Dumeke, who's been in the chat with us all the time. We've answered these before. So we'll give, so I'm not going to list them as official questions, but we could give, you know, answers regardless because we got to fill up some time. But again, we've answered these before. For those that like to collect the gaming stuff, what is your most prized possession and how much did you pay for it?
Prized possession?
Gaming thing.
Ah, man, I got quite a bit of gaming things. I wouldn't say they were exactly prized possessions, but I mean, I could list off a couple of things. I mean, I have quite a bit of Metal Gear 1-6 scale figures, and those can be a bit pricey. I have two of the Kojima Ludens figures, one black and one white. What else do I got here? I mean, I wish I had visual aid. I have a statue.
Visual aid, yeah.
Yeah, I have two statues of Poison from Street Fighter Final Fight. And Ibuki, quite a bit of things. So I guess the biggest, most, it's weird because the biggest expense I could say, they all sort of cost around the same amount of money as far as those things go, you know, around the $200, $100 range. I mean, if I were to say like, oh, no, okay, I got it. I know which one. I have a Metal Gear Rex. That was made by 3-0 or 3A, and that thing was a pretty penny. I'm not going to go into how much it was, but let's just say thank God that Sideshow Collectibles has a essentially a layaway program where you can literally pay off a little bit of it per month. It was that expensive. But yeah, I have that. It has lights and everything inside of it.
Nice. All right, Carlos, do you have anything?
Not really. I guess the only collectibles I have are my old consoles. So I guess my prized possession might be my SNES. My brother kept the NES, so I don't have that, and I'm kind of still bitter. But yeah, my SNES, I still have some games, I think. Actually, give me a second. That's pretty much it, but give me a second. I'm going to visually guide.
All right, well, this gives me a chance to read a comment also from Blitz, a.k.a. Tumeke. He goes, Manny, you are a man after my own heart. Metal Gear Solid stuff is my shit.
So, nice.
There you go. Yeah, this ties into his second question as well.
Yeah, I have a lot of stuff that from over the years of Metal Gear stuff. I mean, I had some of them old Medicom. In fact, if you go onto the into our unboxing videos things that we did, we actually and it's got Street Fighter.
There you go, Street Fighter 2. There you go. Nice, nice. Yeah, leave that shit there for the rest of the show.
If you go into our back unboxing things. I actually do unbox a third party sort of Metal Gear figure, but I also do show some of the other ones that I had, like the official ones, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm kind of like Carlos, don't really have any gaming collectibles. I don't really care for that stuff. So, I mean, I have my Sega Saturn, I guess.
Well, you do actually do have gaming collectibles.
Oh, I do have plenty, but I don't care about them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I got plenty of gaming swag. Don't get me wrong, but I don't care about them, you know. Mm-hmm. I just got him, you know, like that dude Luke Plunkett. Ooh, you know, I don't get swag, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, yeah,
I don't get swag, and we added I receive it.
Yeah, I receive swag. But no, I've never cared for that stuff, you know. I guess. No. I got something. Because again, I don't go out of my way to buy gaming shit, like, you know, outside of the games, but I did buy this, and I think this counts: the Persona 5 soundtrack and art book.
Nice. So, yeah. Oh man,
yeah, you know what, that counts. So that's what I'm listening, because that's literally the only thing I have. Also, Manny got me a really cool Mega Man 11 strategy guide for my birthday, hardcover, beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. Really cool illustrations. I like that a lot. That's really cool. But yeah, that's about
you do
it.
Have a Mega Man helmet back there, don't you?
I do, but again, that's
not yet. That was it.
Yeah, that was swag. Yeah, I don't count swag, you know. It's got to be something I bought. And it didn't cost me too much. It was, you know, you could buy it off Amazon, cheap shit, you know, but it's Persona 5. Had to do it, man. You know, Brett, what is your most prized gaming possession?
Kind of like you guys. I don't really, I mean, I come from a time when we cannibalized a lot of our stuff, though.
Yeah.
I would say I still have a gold edition original NES Zelda cartridge.
Nice. So there you go. All right, Brian.
I'm in the same boat as you, Tony. Like, I really don't have anything. Just not my style.
Yeah. And Chris?
Well, I mean, I have a few different things. But I'd say the most... one of the most valuable things I have was the first day I started working at Nintendo, I met Dan Olsen, and he was still working in the publications team at Nintendo Power, and he gave me his Resident Evil 4 GameCube controller. It was still in the box and everything. He's like, because he was cleaning out his office, and he's like, Chris, why don't you have this? I was like, oh, this is sweet. You know, I still have it. I still have it to this day. Didn't cost me anything. But I kind of treasure that, because it's like one of those, like, vestiges. I remember when they were dissolving Nintendo Power. Like, yeah. I still have something of it.
Nice. All right. If Batman was here, we'd probably have a bunch of things.
For those who don't know, Dan Olsen is like one of the editors. I think he was a writer too for Nintendo Power, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was like one of the last people that were sort of left there when Chris sort of was making the transition from you. Well, essentially, you did work for Nintendo Power for like a month until they folded it all into the web department.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the second question, again, we've answered this one before, so we could keep it brief here. But I'm going to read this whole thing because it's fun. What is one gaming thing you really want that you haven't managed to track down or bring yourself to pay for due to current costs? For me, I have a mate who has a friend for American guys. I have a friend who has a Metal Gear Solid, a limited edition premium package that came with the game, shirt, dog tag, stickers, booklets, and a massive poster of Gray Fox. So cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's very cool.
That thing's worth a lot, too, the premium package.
Yeah. I'll just go first. I don't have anything. So, again, that's not really my thing, so, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, he's talking about mostly, like, Holy Grail.
Yeah, something you've been trying to get, but you just can't get it for whatever reason. Mostly price, you know. But, yeah, I don't care for that stuff.
No, I mean, so far I've been able to find a lot of the different things that I've been always wanted, sort of, as far as gaming things. Like, not Metal Gear related. I actually got this... the statue of Sion Barzad from the bouncer, which is like stupid rare right now. I managed to find that online, you know, for a pretty decent price. And then there was this back in the old Game Fans days, there used to be like a back area that used to sell of the, you know, like an ad in the back. They used to sell like models. And back there, they had a bunch of really cool Darkstalker models. You get like Morgan or Felicia or Jonto Bane, all the characters. But there were these really cool Japanese models. Always wanted one but I had never been really good at modeling or, you know, painting models. So I actually did manage to find one. And a buddy of mine who lives in Canada is like super good at like, you know, painting models and stuff. I'm like, hey, dude, if would you mind painting this up for me really cool? And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? Just send it over and I'll do it up. I'm like, oh, damn, thanks. So, yeah, so I have one of those, too. So, but, yeah, I would say if I were to get anything, I would have liked to have had the red PlayStation 4, the Metal Gear PlayStation 4 that they made a few years ago. But they never, it was at the release of Metal Gear Solid 5, and they released a special Metal Gear console, but it was never released in the States. They only did it in Europe and in Japan. There's that, and then there's also the Gunmetal Gray PlayStation 3, which I always sort of wanted. But I mean, at this point in time, I'm not willing to sort of pay the price for those sorts of things, because I already own a PlayStation 4 and I have a PlayStation 3, and I just don't see spending a bunch of money on something that just is going to that I wasn't going to be using at the time. So like, if it was then, like, yeah, I would have totally like, oh man, give me that red PlayStation 4 with the other thing. But yeah, that's about it.
All right, Carlos, anything?
No, not anything that's collectible. I guess in terms of rare items, I haven't really tried to get anything. I mean, it would be cool if I can get all the old Zelda games in their gold cartridges. That would be pretty cool. But other than that, I don't think I have that much interest on anything like that.
Yeah, Brian, I'm guessing you're the same way, right? No real interest in SF.
No real interest. I just had like laughed quite a lot when Manny was saying that he's not really been into modeling. I literally just thought of him as like a runway model.
Oh man, Chris.
I'm a model, you
know. Oh god.
And I do my thing. That's that song. I'm too sexy.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. All right. Anyway, Chris, go ahead, man.
The only thing I think I've not been able to get my hands on that I wanted was an original TurboGrafx-16.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
Did you ever get the mini?
No, I mean, I wanted the real thing. And also, mm-hmm. The other one that's even harder than that is to find a Turbo Express.
Yeah. Those are Adam's two favorite things, because of just how the Turbo Express essentially just used the same cue cards as the console. So you literally, it's the first portable 16-bit console.
Yeah. So yeah, those two. I should get the mini, but I can enjoy the games at least with that. But I mean, getting my hands on a Turbo Express, that's like the holy grail, and you can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brett, you have anything?
No, not really.
Yeah. All right. There seems to be like half of us like, whatever.
It's like two of us are semi, you know, me, I guess I'm the biggest collector, and then there's Chris, and then everybody else is like, meh.
Well, what about Adam? Yeah. Does he collect stuff?
He does. Yeah, Adam collects stuff. I would say like
these wrestling figures.
No, I call that midlife life crisis stuff.
Hey, listen, I just got to get these wrestling figures.
He's capturing his arcades and arcade machines and that sort of stuff. But yeah, I don't know what would be his biggest gaming thing. I mean, it would either be something Gears of War related or
Game Boys. He has like a lot of Game Boys.
A bunch of them.
I mean, yeah, he's again, as he's trying to sort of capture that sort of, you know, point in his life, you know, when he had one and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know if he has like what's the biggest expense that he has done on any of those, on any of the things. Well, I guess maybe the arcade machines.
Yeah,
I mean, because he said that at some point he really wanted to essentially buy every single time one of those things comes out, he wants to get them. You know, especially when he had a game that he really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So well, we'd probably have to ask him on that on the next one.
Yeah, follow up. You know. All right, and the final question of the night. No, this is a bonus question, by the way, from Mr. Mob Hits. This one,
yo man, this one, you're forgetting the question.
What question? These are the only ones I got listed here, bro.
Yeah, well, if you go to the throwdown, your questions, there's a question by Eurocar9 at 8:16 p.m.
All right. Well, tell Eurocar9 to add them into my show notes here,
because
I'm not digging. But okay, so this is not the final question of the night. but we're still going to take it anyway. All right. This one's kind of fun. Let's not go too crazy answering this one, though. What makes people donate large sums of money to Twitch streamers? And I should make a caveat, we are Twitch streamers and we don't get a lot of money.
No, we don't ask for money, unlike some people.
No.
We literally have to ask every single time.
I'll do the joke answer, then I'll do the real answer. Joke answer is because the streamers that are getting all this money are ones with big fucking titties and hanging out in hot tubs, you know? But it really comes down to they feel that these streamers are providing them, you know, a lot of entertainment, and they're like, hey, I want to support you. I like what you do. That's another thing. A lot of the bits or whatever, it's not really because they need money. It's more like, hey, I want to support you. You're cool. You know, This is my sign of respect. That's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I feel like there's the people who do that sort of feel a sort of connection with the people that they're, that, you know, especially when they start, when they read the little, you know, their comments or something like that. I think that a lot of times they feel this sort of connection to them, they want to sort of give back to them, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is, you know? Because, again, they feel, a lot of people, they feel connected to the streamers or whatever. Like, again, they're watching them for hours and hours and hours a day. You know, it's almost like, you know, like a friend or whatever. You know, you don't really have, I mean, sometimes they do interact or whatever, but they feel that connection. So they just want to, you know, give back however they can.
Yeah.
Blitz says my joke answer was the real one. I don't think there's much more to add to that. It's like, that's pretty much the answer. They just want to, you know, give back to their favorite content creators. Simple as that. You know, all right. Now the real last question of the night, from Eurocar 9, man. Now we've had this guy on before. Yeah, I think he's a troublemaker, to be honest.
Is he only?
This question is interesting, kind of related back to the whole game review thing, which is still going on. By the way, a quick aside, right? So, somebody took a clip from Colin Moriarty's show where he was talking about how, game journalists are lazy if they don't finish their games and shit. We called him. I was like, bro, you were working for IGN and you're Colin Moriarty. You got your games way earlier than everybody else, you know, so we ain't trying to hear that. But what they did was they took that clip and he was talking to one of his guys on his show, right? But they took his guy out and they superimposed still images of Danny, Jeff Grubb, Paris, and me, you know, saying that we're the fucking lazy journalists and shit. Kind of funny, you know.
Damn.
I just find it funny how, like, I live rent-free in these motherfuckers' heads, you know. It's like, you know, the old saying is true. It's like, the bigger you get, the more haters you get, you know. Cat Williams said that. It's like, if you don't have haters, you're doing something wrong. You should be glad you have haters, because that's what haters are supposed to do. Don't get mad at haters. Their job is to hate. And if you don't have a lot of haters right now, get some, you know. So, hey, listen, man, this is how it is. And, you know, same motherfuckers I make, you know, take my, like, profile picture on Twitter, put a clown of fucking makeup on me. So I'm like, all right, bro. So I'm over here doing my dream job while you're on MS Paint painting another man's face. Who's the real loser here? You know what I'm saying? It's hilarious.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a weird thing, because I feel like you yourself have also explained it very well, that
I did,
of how this sort of stuff works. And I also think that people don't realize that people like Colin Moriarty or somebody like a Greg Miller are a unique situation, because they are who they are. Yeah. They're former IGN people. IGN is literally the top of the food chain. You know, it's like even saying the same sort of thing as somebody from a GameSpot. You know, somebody like that would, or the former Game Trailers guys, whatever the hell their names are now, Easy Allies, those motherfuckers are getting shit early because they were and are who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear them saying, oh, well, we're only playing, you know, because they got that shit early because the media reps know who these guys are, and they'll just get the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And the question in question is, should the game review process be regulated? And my counter question is, how would you regulate it and who would regulate it?
Yeah, that's a big question, because, again, every single game journalist right now, from the biggest guy to the smallest guy, like our buddies on the Coalition, all dependent on getting these games. So that would mean that every single person gets every single game at the same amount of time. That's the regulation that should happen,
yeah.
But it doesn't.
But again, who would be in charge of that?
Again, yeah, who would be in charge of that? Because the thing about it is that representative of a different studio has a different priority. And they're going to obviously want to get something on an IGN faster than they would, to be honest, on a Coalition.
Yep. That's just how
who's
it is.
The,
go ahead.
Who's the entity that does the whole ESRB stuff?
They don't regulate game reviews.
No, they don't. They only do ESRB only handles the ratings.
Now I'm going to give you guys some insight into this shit, right? Companies like Capcom, Square Enix, whatever, they do not give out reviews. There's some exceptions, obviously, but for the most part, they do not give reviews out directly. They have PR companies that give these codes out, right? And the PR company decides who gets codes when, right? But the game companies also decide when they're going to put these things out. So it would have to take a concerted effort for every game company and every PR company, there's a lot of PR companies, to all come together and say when something's going to happen. That's not going to happen at all. At all.
I'm thinking that the only way that this could happen is if the reviewers, and obviously the big guys, the IGNs, the Colin Moriarty's, and like everyone, like the review, like they stand up to these companies and say, hey, you know, we're gonna review your games, but we need some, you know, written rules somewhere where it's like we need to follow some guidelines where it's a level playing field for everyone. And obviously, I don't think that's ever gonna happen because most of this stuff negatively affects the little guy.
Yeah.
And obviously, IGN is not in that situation, so I don't think they'll ever stick up for, you know, someone that's not
because they
see beneath them.
Because they want the numbers. They want to be the first one to get the scoop.
Yeah, IGN is not going to stick up for the little guy. They're sticking up for IGN, you know?
That's precisely the reason why a lot of times whenever the little guys start to essentially find something that the big guys scoop out, you know, I mean, excuse me, find something that the big guys didn't scoop, right? Didn't have enough thought to look out. That's when a lot of the little guys get their big break. Right?
If the big sites bother to even cite them,
yes. If the big site, yeah, which was a problem with a lot of the sites that we have sort of worked at, where essentially some of these guys come in and just literally rip off a story or a and not even give an original, an original link to the quote.
I've told the story on the air before. I'm going to do it again for the new listeners, right? This was back when I wrote for SCFU and Play, and I was watching TV. This was like almost 2 a.m., right? And they had a, what's the name of the tire company again?
Bridgestone.
So they had a Bridgestone commercial, and the actor, you know, who was Kevin Butler, was on there, right? And I know, and this was already a bit of a controversy because he was on there promoting the Switch, right? Was it a Switch or the Wii?
The Wii.
So he was promoting the Wii, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, hey, they took the Wii out. It's gone, you know? So I DVR'd it, you know, recorded it, right? And I just recorded it with my phone. And I, you know, wrote a story for it, and I sent it over to Torrance, our editor in chief, and we posted it, right? And I joked with him. I'm 6 months into the industry right now. I joked with him, like, yo, watch. This was on a Thursday, by the way. I joked with him, like, yo, watch by Saturday, Kotaku's gonna steal the story. Guess what happened? Kotaku stole the fucking story, right? So they posted it as their own. If you click on the video, it leads to STFU and Play's YouTube, no citation whatsoever, right? Torrance goes on Twitter. He goes ballistic. He's tagging Steven Totillo, yelling at him and shit, you know? Torrance being Torrance, right? What I did was I tagged the guy who wrote the story. I'm forgetting his name right now. And I very respectfully said, hey, listen, man, I did the story. This is me. That's my phone right there. Can you at least cite us, please? You know, and he eventually did. But that happens a lot, sniping, you know? I know it's a bit of an aside there, but again, the big sites only care about little sites if they could get something out of them, and they are not going to give credit, you know. So some, you know, just bringing it back around, some kind of unity between in the gaming industry when it comes to reviews and any getting anything early, that ain't happening. The big sites do not want the little guys to get that shit. You know, you've seen it yourself. Some of these guys are like, I think it was our boy Luke Plunkett. He's like, why are these little guys at E3? They're just taking up space. You know, it should be the big guys, you know?
That's one of the things that Luke said literally around the time when we first started doing stuff for STFU and Play. Like, why are all these little guys
around? Independent journal. Why are they here? They're just eating up. Like, come on, man.
That also came with the swag thing, because essentially they're there for the swag.
Yeah. Yeah, he was saying, like, all these guys just come here for swag. They don't care about, like, they're just taking up space and shit, you know?
Was that during the...
Oh, go ahead.
Was that during the Hip Hop Gamer incident?
Yeah, I think it was. We're not going to mention that. I know what you... Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, shit was funny when that shit happened.
But it kind of sucked when, especially when we're starting to get our feet wet inside of the industry. You literally have a big asshole at the top saying, we don't want you here.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what was really good about a lot of that was when we talked to what was his face?
Daniel Kaiser,
stupidly great guy. Like, literally talked to, like, I don't know if he has history, you know, going back, you know doing independent game journalism, but he's like, you know, guys, you know, this is the time, you know. He's like, see, you know, you're the new guys out there, you're just getting your feet wet, but he's like, E3 is definitely the place that you can make a name for yourself and your site. And what happened not long after that? STFU and Play, which Tony's wearing a shirt right now, right there, represent. Literally, we had one of our biggest years that year.
E3 was really big for us that year. That blew the site
up. It was like 2013, right? Yeah.
By the way, and I love this part, right? So one of our insiders, a month beforehand, right, he leaked to us, and we posted the story that Final Fantasy Versus 13 was going to be renamed Final Fantasy 15. Kingdom Hearts 3 was going to be announced at E3. We posted that shit on YouGov. Everybody laughed at us. Look at these fucking clowns, man, making shit up, you know? Yo, they look real stupid when those stories came true, you know? And they had to give us props, you know? But, yeah, the point is, you're never going to get consensus in the game industry, because the big guys up top loathe the little guys. They will never cooperate. That's just a fact. So a review game process ain't gonna fucking happen ever, you know. And that's just the way it is. And again, even these, you know, companies, game companies, they like the little guys, but they're kind of just like, you know, throw them a bone, you know. It's how it is, man. It's how it is. So I think that's that. So Manny, you have anything to plug?
That was the Carlos question?
Yeah.
I meant the your car question. Yeah. I mean, the usual things. Got Excellence working on that now. I got some things going on with Aspen Comics, so I'm gonna be doing some cover work for them. Can't say what it is, but it's gonna be fun. And this is fully me drawing and illustrating it. And then we also got some good stuff coming with the Excellence Super Edition that's going to be coming out soon. So I'm working on stuff with that, so stay tuned for that. And usual DC, and then some Marvel things coming. So I got a lot of other things, and then I also have a very, very big thing that's coming that I can't talk about, but if this thing happens, it's going to be awesome as fuck.
So
stay tuned for that
one. Stay tuned. There you go.
Make sure to stay tuned to the I Am Negan podcast. Negan.
Spotify. It's on
coalition.com, Spotify, iTunes. It's a great, crazy episode. We went over the last episode. Something happened. Someone died. I wasn't expecting it.
Oh, man. Manny, Tool Maker wants to know when you're going to do another unboxing.
Another unboxing. Well, I mean, it depends on what's going to be, what's game related that I picked up. I mean, I haven't picked up anything in a while, but we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, that's how it is, man.
Usually my unboxing videos sort of come in like randomly. I'm like, hey, Tony, I got this. Do you think we want to do a video unboxing thing? All right, let's do it.
Yeah, my usual my follow-up question is like, is it gaming related? Yes, let's do it. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. All right, people, that's going to do it for us, so make sure.
Oh, wait, I got something to promote.
Chris, that's right. Oh, man, and give us a little sneak peek of what you talked about.
Yeah, so on Friday, Warner Brothers released Those Who Wish Me Dead with Angelina Jolie. I had some thoughts about that movie, so me, Dana, and Joey Polanco talked about it on... And you can check that out on the Coalition. The short version, I do not recommend it.
So
if you want my full thoughts, check that out.
Yeah, go check that on the Coalition with a K.com or the Coalition on YouTube, you know? By the way, Blitz says, just do a show and tell video of some of the stuff you said you have, Manny.
That'd be like Cribs, right?
Yeah, it'd be like Cribs. Your phone. Yeah,
man, this is where it all happens.
Yeah, it all happens. You'd have Exhibit there for some reason.
I don't know where I got Exhibit from, but we use right here.
Man, he's like, hey,
we'll be zooming in all over the place.
Like, where'd the Scarface poster come from?
this is right happened. I only saw half of this movie, but man, it's the greatest, it's my greatest jam.
You should do that. Throw down Cribs, you know.
Throw down Cribs. Yo, man, I love myself. The Warriors.
The Warriors.
Oh man! All right, now we're really done. Make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and join our Discord. Follow us on find us on any podcast app by searching Throw Down Show. Two words, Throw Down Show, and visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. If you are on YouTube and you enjoyed this episode, hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Links to everything is down below in the description. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
No midlife crisis.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Sucker-free Sunday.
Brett Murdoch.
I'm Captain Shepard, and I endorse this podcast.
Yes. Mm. And Brian Manjoma.
So, on a scale of Mortal Kombat to Suicide Squad, how bad was the film, Chris?
Well, no, I mean, you just, like, Sonya dodged Angelina Jolie, and she went right off a cliff.
Wow.
It's bad. It's not worth it.
Damn. All right, I'm going to watch Manny play with Iron Man for a little bit. All right.
Okay.
Good. All right, people, we'll see you on Thursday later.
Deuces.